believe you are correct.
We are on the 5th line down. Star, by little out. Star shish bo machak, a document which has an erasure. Oklus mi gufo, or a I don't know what you call it in English, but like something, a carrot, that's what it is.
Oh.
You
know,
carrot?
Yeah, that's
an inclusion. Yeah. So it means something dangling above or below the line.
Right, that's
you know what a carrot is?
Oh, carrot is
those little,
the arrow.
The arrow, up arrow, down arrow, right? So that's a clue. The migufo apostle. If that's a... if it's dangling in something like that in the essential component of the star, not just the excess verbiage, but in the essential component of the star, that makes the star no good, because you don't know if that's legitimate or not. Shalom Yigubo, if it's in the non-essential component of the star, it's okay, it's kosher. And if it's an essential component, v'mechzir lamata, even if it's an essential component, if it's repeated later on at the bottom of the document, I feel me gufo kosher. In other words, if you put in the carrots and put something between the lines and later on repeat at the end of the document, that's okay. Okay? Because then that indicates that it was a real bona fide correction. The witnesses sign on it as well, since it's included in the document later on. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Tarvei, and Omen. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi both said, Tzorich lachzu shnei shitim mokom uksav. Now, it's not clear exactly what this means. I have three possible ways of interpreting that. It either means that, as the Korban Eidah says, that you have to repeat the, when you have a carrot, so you have to repeat the phrase which the carrot added with above the last two lines of the document. Because if it's in the last lines of the document, since we know that there's a shita which we have before, that you can have two spaces between the end of the document and the witnesses, so maybe this was added in later on. You know, maybe the carrot was added on later on, and maybe these two, then maybe that these two lines were added in later on. So therefore, that's going to have to be not within the last two lines, the specification of the carrot. Or the Bnei Moshe says, Adarabba, it's got to be Davka B in the last two lines. Because that's logic dictate where it should be, because the logic would be that those two lines are initially blank, and therefore that's repeated. Well, I like Korban better, because Bnei Moshe is difficult because it leaves room for fraud. So I like Korban shot better that shouldn't be in the last two lines, which is the opposite of the emotion, so it is in the last two lines. Then I thought on my own, maybe it's a totally irrelevant halacha. All this means is that the last two lines of the document that repeat in a summary form what the document said. In other words, when it says Tzorich la'achzir shnei shitim mokom ksav, it doesn't mean repeat the carrot, but whatever the document was talking about, the theme of the document is repeated in the last two lines of the document. What? That sounds good, right? Okay, so it could mean any of those three things. And the next line says, Rabbi Zibashem Rav said, Tzorglas Kin Yonah shall get emo. In those last lines, either if we're talking about where it repeats the carrot, or where we're talking about where it repeats the serving of the star, you have to mention the matter of the star, or the matter of the carrot, depending on how we interpret the previous line, where the previous line said about the contents of the carrot or the contents of the star in general. But Baba Shem Rav said, Rabbanim Rav said, Lo Yizkir Nyanu Shu Get Emo, if you don't mention re-mention the matter of the get in the last two lines, now here the word is missing possible. Should see it's possible. So Kasha is, Mechavot Tavit Shitosit Rabbi Bo, so it seems to contradiction Rabbi Bo, because Rabbi Bo said yesterday, that you can leave the last two lines blank. I think that was Rabbi Bo's sheet before. What? So he says that in the previous one he says that no, that's, I think that's what he said. Is that it? No, that's not what the kasha is. Sorry. The contradictory bar is like this. The previous Rabbi Bar had said that you can fill in the last two lines of the document with anything. There can be enim psulim. In other words, if you have two witnesses or a puzzle, then you consider those two lines are considered skipped, and you go and you just continue with the two witnesses which are kosher. So it sounds like the two last lines don't have any specific content which they're supposed to have. Yet here it sounds like they have to have specific content, right? So therefore, it seems like Rabbi Bar is much stricter over here. So it says the Gemara, here it is explicitly in the Gemara. I just drew a blank. Tama Ram Rabbi Bar, Rabbi Bar said, B'shem Rabbi Yirmi, name Rabbi Yirmi, Edom Sulim, Edom Vasu Kerchei Kedus. If you have Edom Sulim on the document, it's not considered to be a gap between the document and the Edus. So they just fill it, come to fill in the gaps of the get. So the last two lines don't have to be filled with matters that do the document. They didn't be Edom Sulim. You know, you can just write gibberish. Bachel Marachin here says, it sounds like the last two lines of the get must specifically be solely concerning the content of the get, which sounds like my pshat in the Gemara. It doesn't sound like Carbonator, because Carbonator is focused on the two lines, not what happens before the last two lines. It sounds a little bit like the Pnei Moshe, that you have the last two lines have to repeat the carrots, right? Whatever was added, inserted in later on. But it definitely can go like what I'm going. And so that means that the last two lines of the document must be the contents of the document. I, earlier in the assembly, said you can have two lines between the documents and the signatures, which in effect is like part of the documents, which is full of Edom Psulim. So that means you don't have the two lines, last lines, full of content of get content. It's two lines full of Edom Psulim. So says the Gemara, it's not a contradiction. Tav Hashem Rabbi Yirmi, then Name Rabbi Yirmi, he said that the last, you can have two lines of gibberish. Baruch Hashem Rab, he says that the two last two lines have to be content laden, must contain content, and not gibberish. Okay? Says the Gemara, Kanduk's new topic. Kara Ara Chasima Sideh Einim Chasima Sideh Adayorim. The guy who's the defendant against whom the shtar has been produced, he cries foul against the witnesses and against the judges. Most documents have witnesses who are signed it, and judges who confirm the validity of the signatures. So this guy calls foul. He says, prove to me that the signatures of the witnesses and the judges are not forged. Okay? You can be Mekayim either way. In order to sustain the document, you can use either the witnesses or the Dayonim. You don't have to pick and choose. In other words, you have to verify whoever the individual producing the document is who wants to collect based on this document. He proves the validity of the document by verifying the signatures on the document, either the signatures of the witnesses or the signatures of the judges. Now the two witnesses, and how many judges? Three, right? But nevertheless, even if he confirms one witness, and it should be vid dayon echad, and one judge, that's enough. Right? He doesn't necessarily have to do two witnesses or three judges. Do one witness and one judge, and that's sufficient. Okay? Mukuyam, that's sufficient. That makes sense. Shit's good. Since you can do either one of them, either one of the writings, either the Edom or the Dayanim, so you can also make every one is worth the same as the other. You can mix and match one and one as well. I'm not sure exactly why that logic follows, but that's what he says. Anyway, Yor B'Shul, these are just assorted halachos and shtaros, not necessarily connected to one another. Right, Bob B'Shem, Yor B'Shul L'Ksoiva, the individual gave permission to a scribe to write, Sheikhto, L'Chasamaya, and to witnesses, Sheikhtamu, that they should sign. But they're not signing at the same time the shtar is written. So, that's a problem. And they're not signing on the same date. So what do you do? Rabbi Babish, Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Tzichah Ma'edim L'Chtov, the witnesses have to write, Amal V'Ezos Be'echa B'Nisan Hu, they have to write that the loan took place on the first day of Nisan. V'Ari Charnos Marabo, we delayed the time, in other words, we signed it later, and in fact, the effective date of the shtar is from whenever the Edom signed it, rather not from the time the loan took place. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Zira said, Rabbi Yehuda, Ashra said, Dayanim, the verification of that Dayanim, Abilu, Rechoiko, Kama, even if it's distance from the witnesses or from the rest of the document, Kama, by several gaps, kosher, it's kosher. Right? The witnesses have to be hard on the heels of the document. We had a machloikis within one line, within two lines, but they have to be hard on the heels of the document. But the way they dayonim, their certification of the document can be anywhere on the document. It doesn't have to necessarily be immediately adjacent to the document. I guess because it's not as the edim are signing on the document and everything, all the content of the document. So therefore, their signatures have to adhere to the text of the document. But the judges are not signing on the contents of the document, but on the verification of the document. So therefore, it doesn't matter where the verification appears on the face of the document. Okay? Rabbi Amar Tzichem HaDayanim L'Chtov, the Dayanim have to write, Ishrinu, we verify the document of Imam Aploni Maploni in the presence of so-and-so and so-and-so. Lama, and those so-and-so and so-and-so are the witnesses who testified as the validity of the signatures. Lama, G'day Shalom Yu Mitzuyim Lazim. In order, now there's a typo here, should be in order that they should be Mitzuyim Lazim. I mean that they should be able, if necessary, if counter witnesses want to come and say that the signatures which were verified by these individuals are not properly verified, then they want to say that the witnesses who verify the signatures were Yom Zohim planted witnesses, they need to know who was there and when they were there. Okay? So that's why they have to write what day it was. So the Gemara doesn't like that. Gemara says, Me'atav that's the case. Afilu Beizu Yoyim Beizu Shoh. It should have to say what day it was. I guess that's the date to say that they were there. And what hour of the day it was. Beizu Mokka, what place it was. So we want to prove that Edom said that these witnesses could not possibly have been there, or that these witnesses could not possibly know about what they testified. We need to know precise details, because that's how you make Edom Zomim, by proving that they were elsewhere at the time that they claimed that they were somewhere, or something to that effect. So the Gemara, obviously, the Gemara, it's a funny question. The Gemara says, Gazardin, nothing could be robbed, verification came out for Rob's basin. They didn't write any details at all about who was there. Because the truth is, it doesn't mean you can do Azama Mamish. What does it mean, Azama? Azama means you're going to say the witnesses who testified about this were not valid witnesses. How are you going to prove that? Certainly it's not a classic case of Azama. The classic case of Azama is where you say where they were, they could not have been at that time. But here, what you really want to say is that the witnesses did not know about whose signature they were signing, right? So therefore, it's not really the process of Azom in the classic sense. So when it is meant, you have to know who the Edim who testified to the signature were, in order that you can disprove that, but not to make them Edim Zomim, not to say you couldn't have been there at that time. So that's why you don't have to write when it was, where it was, what time of day it was, in order to provide that kind of possibility. Okay? I'm Rabbi Chagai. Chagai said, Tzrichim Adonim Akirim. This is really logical. Just Adonim have to recognize the Sanhedrin, the individuals involved. And why the people shouldn't be making a plot to make a bogus star to collect from customers. So if they have to know these people who are creditable or not, credible or not, the people who come in front of them. My soya was equal, because it was a case like that when there was a forgery which went on. So they have to verify the ethical character of the individuals who come in front of them with the shtar, and not just verify the shtar on the basis of the verification of the witnesses. Okay? Shia mitzvah again. What if you start writing again? You couldn't finish on one column. Because of the Dav Sheni, you continue on the second column. right? Like a siftor, column by column. Very milamata, when the witnesses are at the bottom of the second column, kosher, it's okay. Kosweidim barosha daaf. If you, the Adam wrote the signature at the top of the page, before the get. We have it on the side of the page, right next to the get. Omi achor, behind the get. We get pashu by an open get, one which is not folded over. Pasul, it's no good. Heki roshu shel zeb, it's how roshu zeb. Now you wrote two get and one in a continuous column. Actually, no, one is upside down vis-a-vis the other, right? You wrote one going this way and another going that way, right on the document. Okay, so in that case, and the Eidim Be'emtza, they in the middle, Shnei'emtzalim. Both documents are no good because the Eidim had to be at the end of the document, they're at the beginning of both documents, right? If, however, Rosh Hashanah besides Sofo shows there, if the continuous one here and then one again afterwards, so Esh Eidim Yikrim Mimo, the one which the witnesses are closest to, that one is the kosher one, right? Actually, if you call himself the ones who win this are close to at the end of it, it's kosher. Get your kosher Hebrews. Now, here we're talking about literal languages. A get which is written in Hebrew. Veda Yevonis, its witnesses are Greeks. And they sign in Greek. Okay? Or Yevonis, the get is written in Greek, which theoretically is kosher. Veda Yevonis, and its witnesses are Jews. Eda Chod Hebrew, Veda Chod Yevonis, one witness is a Jew, and they're all Jews. One is a witness is Israeli and the other is Greek. Eidach Rivani, one witness is Greek. Eidach Rivani, and the other witness is Israeli. Kosher. All these are okay. Kosher by Sofer Eid, kosher. If the Sofer wrote the document and an Eid signed the document, that's kosher. Problem is, that's not so simple because the Mishnah previously which said that was possible. At least Midrabbanan. If the Sofer wrote without and had not signed, and an eight signed, the sofer plus an eight does not do witnesses make. So the Gemara is going to discuss that. Okay, ish ploni eight kosher. If I write, I'm Yankel the witness. That's how I sign it. That's kosher. Ben ish ploni, if I write, I'm the son of Yankel the witness. Eight who's the witness. I write the word eight. That's kosher as well. Ish plenty of them, ish plenty, I write Yaakov ben Shmerel, below Kos of Eid, and then write Eid at the end, Kosher, that's also okay. Kos of Chanichosov, Chanichosov, I write my, it could be nickname, but it really means my symbol, as Amar will explain. That's also Kosher. Kachinikei Das Yishrayim Kos, and that's how the upstanding people in Shlaim Yisudu, they would write just the nickname, as opposed to the actual name. Okay? The truth is, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not so sure I'm right about that. That's how the Ushami learns it, but I think one could learn differently, and maybe the Bible does, I don't remember. One could learn it actually means that you have to write the nickname besides the regular name. But here in the Gemara it's going to say you have to, the nickname by itself suffices. I don't remember. Okay, says the Gemara, Ma'ushir. What is this, what did you leave over that you started writing the second column? Which is still kosher. On Rabbi Sirabun, Rabbi Sirabun said, Kagon Kayem Shora Borer. The last line of a get, we usually write a Ko Shora Vakayom or a Ko Borer or something like that. So that's left over the second column. Nothing integral. Everything integral has got to be in the first column. What's in the second column is non-integral. So, well, it's important. But the rest of it is in the first column, and it's kosher because I say the witnesses are signing on the entire get. Now the truth is that why is that such? That's really a chiddush. I think it's less of a chiddush if the get continues on the second column from the first column. But chiddush is because you might think in this case it was actually another get written on top, which was cut off. I know you left this the last line. And you had the Adam sign on this. The Adam were signed there already. And again, which had been on top of the parchment, which is next to again on the other side of the parchment. So that's why it tells us that we're not afraid of that. We assume that this was the continuation of the get in the first column as opposed to the continuation of a higher get in the second column, which had been cut off. Okay? Says the get. Now, here the way every all of them before she transpose the words. Veget pashut pasul. Okay, instead of get pasul pasul, so you get pasul pasul. A simple get is pasul when the Adam signed the back. But of course, be makusha or kosher. If you have a get makusha, a special get, which is where the Adam sign on the fold of the outside of the get, and then they fold it over line by line, that's kosher, obviously, where the witnesses are not at the bottom of the get. They're not supposed to sign there. They have to sign opposite the lines, uva me'achora, from behind the get. Okay? Rav Amarav says, Hadayonim chosmim, Dayonim sign on a, verifying the signatures of witnesses, Abishayim on the ghost, even though they have no idea what it says in the documents. Because they don't have to. What's their purpose? The Dayonim? Just verifying signatures. So they don't have to know what it says in the document in order to verify a signature, right? Yes? Okay? But, Avol, Ein Eidim Chos Minyan Lekei Yoidim Likros. Witnesses cannot sign unless they know how to read. Right? They have to know what it says in the document before they sign it. Now, actually, Shai Torah Sinsor brings down that the Bavli on Daf Tesem Rav argues on this. The Bavli says that if you have witnesses who don't know how to read, you read the document in front of them, and if they don't know how to write, you make stencils, and they sign by filling in the stencils. So according to the Bavli, you don't actually, what? But the Bavli says that. The Bavli says that the Adim don't have to be able to read. They just have to be told what it says in the document. They don't even have to be able to write. They just have to be able to fill in stencils, and that's sufficient. Okay, the Yushami obviously doesn't know that way. The Yushami holds Adim have to be literate. You like the Yushami because you like literacy.
How do they know
what he's doing? They don't. According to the Bible, as long as they believe.
That's not necessarily why he's there.
What? Right, he's there to verify that he signed the document. That's so that. So, and amen. But I like Yushalmi better too. Says the Gemara Omar, and Rab said, even though I'm a Dayan, and I can verify documents without knowing what they say, Yavo Alai, may evils befall me, you must cease me on my forever. Verify a document without knowing the contents thereof. In other words, if he was in a foreign language, he wouldn't verify it. He was machmir upon himself. I'm Rabbi Chagai, called Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chagai said of Rabbi Yossi, Lo bokumi Rav Chsab Yivani Miyomi, since Rav cannot read Greek, a Greek document never came in front of him, the Kimei Bechosam, of which he sustained by its signatories, because he didn't know how to read Greek. Masnisa pliga Rav. Wait a minute. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah seems to argue Rav. It says, get your kosvo ivris. The get is written in Hebrew. Ve'davivanis, and the witnesses are written in Greek. Yivanis, or the get is written in Greek. Ve'davivris, or, and the witnesses are in Hebrew. Edochad ivri, one witness is Israeli, and sides in Hebrew. Ve'edochad ivani, one witness is Greek, and sides are Greek. Kosher! So we see, it seems, that they don't have to know what it says in the document. Because otherwise, why are they signing in foreign language? Right? If it's not Greek to them, why are they signing in Hebrew? Right? So they should sign Greek. So it says, Mara Patala, interesting answer. But he explained, it's case, Shoyu Yodim Likros, they know how to read in that language, Lo Yodim Likros, but they don't know how to write in that language. So again, the Bible Yushami consistent with the Shita, that they must be able to read the document. They'll have to sign it in that language, but they have to be able to read that language. Okay? And the V'im, and our Mishnah say, and if they know both languages, Yachlo V'ezim Hashir, so they can sign whichever one they want. Okay? They're not tied down to sign in the specific language in which the Shtar is written. Okay? Says the Mara, quoting for the Mishnah. Explain the Mishnah. Kinim Asnis is a way to read the Mishnah. Now I'm going to learn the way the Shai Teretz Yisrael changes the Girsa. Even though all the other Parshim go crazy and try to learn without changing the Girsa, I will learn the Shai Teretz Yisrael, and instead of Chosav, learn Chosav. Chosav Sofer V'Eid Kosher. In our Mishnah, it said if the Sofer wrote the Get, and an A, and an, one within the side, it's kosher. But we know the previous Mishnah said not that way. Said that that's there, which is false with the Rabbanan. So therefore, that's why the Shartar Yisrael says that Yisrael must be Chassam Sofer Reid. The Sofer wrote it, signed on it, together with another witness. So since you have two signatures, it's okay. Now even still, he says the Bavli and Shami argue. Because the Bavli says Chassam Sofer Reid, if the Sofer signed and a witness signed, both, then that's kosher l'chatchila. You can go ahead and do that, it's fine. Serving one of the 80. But the Ushami says, in terms of our mission, kosher always sounds like, if you did it, it's okay, but it's not the best thing. So the Ushami obviously was the Chatchila, you should have one sofer, this is the way we do it nowadays, one sofer and two witnesses. Okay? Not that the sofer should have one of the witnesses. No, no. You have to determine the mission regardless, because the mission says kosher. No, sometimes the mission is different between the Bavli and Ushami. In fact, in this mission itself, there are different differences between the Bavli and Ushami, which are minor, but there are differences, sometimes they're substantial. Okay? Says the Gemara, quoting for the Mishnah, Ish Ploni Kosher. You sign, I'm Yanko, the witness, it's kosher. Ben Ish Ploni Kosher, I'm the son of so and so, Beryl, I'm with the witness, it's kosher. Ish Ploni, Ben Ish Ploni, the locus, I'm A. Kosher, that's kosher as well. Now, the next Gemara, I'm going to learn according to Beck Offer. I was not happy with any of the Mephoshim here, so therefore we go to the Big Day Shesha on this one. Okay? I was inspired by the Pnei Moshe. The way everybody else learned the continuation of previous Gemara of Ksab Soifer Ve'ei, I don't see how they learned it that way. I think that that's ridiculous. I think it's too torturous. But I'm going to learn it the way, again, inspired by the Pnei Moshe, but not precisely the way he interprets it, but rather inspired by what he says. Says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon says, Divra Koli. Now it says, Yanko Ben Shmerel, without the word aid, is kosher. Kosher, again, means b'dieved, not l'chatchila, right? So Rabbi Yechon said, everywhere agrees, but that's only b'dieved. If you don't write aid, it's not, it's b'dieved, it's okay. If you did it that way, it's okay, but you never do that way in the chatchila. So I've said, Rabbi Yechon said, Shtar l'chatchila should be written with all possible clarity. And therefore, witness should make sure that we know that he's not just whistling Dixie when he signs, but rather he is actually a witness. So the Chatchila has to write the word aid. Okay? Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, and said, not true to Rabbi Yehuda. It's only Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's only kosher with the Yemen. Rabbanan holds the Chatchila, you don't have to write the word aid. Where do you have Rabbi Rabbanan? Rabbanan is the previous Mishnah in Halacha. In Halacha Gimel, I think it was. No. Where was it? Halacha something or other. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't as prepared. A couple of, you know, the last night or two nights ago. It said that Gufo should get Rabbanan said the primary part of the get is Arei Muteres L'chol Adam. And then Rabbi Yehuda say, yeah, but we are a whole bunch of stuff. And that, the day, the Evi L'chol Minoi, he gets Truchin, he gets something Shivuchin. We write a whole bunch of stuff besides that. We had to begin the night fair, I still remember which Mishnah it was. Yeah, Halacha Base. Yeah, you don't have to look back there. But Rabbanan said, Gufo should get Arei Muteres L'chol Adam. It was said, "V'day Yehuda Chaminoi." Yeah, I don't know, but just stop saying "Petruchim" because "Shivukim." So Rabbi Yehuda said, and Rabbi Chaya said, "So added verbiage to make it clear whose get it was from whom it was." Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says you have to be a stickler for detail. He holds if you don't write "aid," but the "oats holy kosher," but the "evet." Rabbanan holds even "chatchil" it ought to be so expansive, and therefore the word "aid" is unnecessary. Okay, says more Rabbi Yehuda said. Lo bois mi daito Rabbi Yochanan. Lo bois mi daito Rabbi Yochanan. Holy! Rabbi Lazar was not afraid of Rabbi Yochanan, even though Rabbi Yochanan was the great Amora. He argues on Rabbi Yochanan. He says that everybody passes the case where it doesn't say A, it doesn't pass. It says, you have to write A. Even Rabbi Rabbanan hold that way. And says the Mura, Rabbi Yossi, who said this, who kind of like stuck up Rabbi Lezer, Bishitasa Yeshivu. He responded with his own opinion. He holds like Rabbi Lezer as well, that El Chatchila, you have to be clear beyond all shadow of a doubt. Because Lav Rabbo is not his Rebbe. I think his Rebbe was Rabbi Yirmiyah. I forget who it was. But it's not even his Rebbe. Duam Hashem Rabbi Zir, Sunday Rabbi Zir, back at the beginning of the Masechta. The first, third parent, not the absolute beginning. But that test, but Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Zira, name Rabbi Zira. The case is like that. The case over there was a case where there are two people with the same name in the city. So the question is, so you have to identify marks in the Torah, in the primary component of the get. But in the secondary component of the get, you don't have to write identifying marks. Why? Because we're not afraid that this get is going to be used by somebody whom it was not intended. Okay? So therefore, if you have two people same name in the city, the Gomorrah had said there, you really could write the tofes of the get. I guess you anticipate this marriage was on the rocks. You could write the tofes of the get, not assuming that there would be some mix-up. And the truth is, because even if there was a mix-up, in the tofes, the non-essential component of the get, you don't have to be precise. And then the Gemara came to the conclusion, you know what, even though that's true, Lamaisa, we refrain from writing a get, unless we have clear-cut identification of who it is at the time that we write it, even the tofes. Why? We don't want to take chances. It's a low plug. We don't enjoy distinctions. Even though it's a tofes, it's not an essential component, not the tofes, we don't take any chances. And afterwards, it says, Zim, it came a chain of Motzi Lezabe, since it's not frequent that there are going to be two people of the same name, and that you're going to have such a coincidence, and the Gemara should say here, Korban Yehuda changed it, Afilu Zibe Kamishalo Zibe. Even if there are two people, we don't take into consideration. But that's only how the Gemara starts there. The Gemara concludes and says we don't take that chance. So from this we see the Rabbi Yossi holds, like it's Rabbi Yirmiyah, named Rabbi Zira, that even though, theoretically, we're not concerned with inaccuracies, certainly not in the tofes, which is inconsequential, the chatchila we take even undue precautions. And don't even allow you to write the non-essential part of the get, where it's possible that there be two people by the same name. So to here, we take perhaps undue precautions and make sure the chatchila that you write the word a, even according to Rabbanan, not just according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Chosav chalichosav chalichosav kosher. If you wrote the nicknames, it's kosher, right? That's good enough. Now, Rabbi, it seems like that's going to the nicknames of the man and the woman, okay? But here, actually, it sounds like the Gemara switches gears. It says it's not going to, not in the names of man and woman. Rabbi Obisher, you don't say, Avilu Kosav, it says Eino, but it's a typo, it should be the Mashpiach, it says Aleph. If your name was Avo, and you wrote Aleph as your signature as a witness, kosher. You don't have to write out your full name. I guess ink was expensive in the old days. So Aleph is good enough. Ravo Kosav Aleph, Ravo himself wrote an Aleph. Rav Chista Kosav Sabbath. Chista couldn't, I think, I forget from where, somewhere it says some people couldn't pronounce the Cheses. So therefore he wrote, I guess, just the Sabbath. Shmuel Kosav Charusa. Shmuel made a picture of a tree, or a branch, and that was his sign. So that, not just the nickname, but whatever, not because they didn't know the sign, obviously, but whatever is your symbol, that's good enough to be your signature of the game. Okay, on we go. Get Meusa, get which is compelled, given unto duress. Be strong if the Jews compelled him, kosher. Uvaka, if the Goyim compelled him, possible. Uvaka, Chovtim, also, however, if the Goyim can't beat the guy, you can hire Tony and Vinny, and they can beat the guy, but really they say, say Mashi So Omerloch, better do what the Jew guy tells you to do. So that we can do. We can hire a Goyim to break his kneecaps, but it has to be the Jews who hire the Goyim. Yeah. Yeah. They basically hired Tony and Vinny. Yeah, so. It should theoretically be kosher. The Baron Soloveitchik has a very strange shita. The Aruch HaShulchan has, he holds that if Dina the Malchus of Dina makes it illegal to hire Tony and Vinny so to get his puzzle. But the two things should have nothing to do with each other. One is the question, Dina Milchus Dina is a law of Choshev Mishpat, monetary law, not a divorce court, divorces. So based in higher than it, what's the difference? It might be a crime to beat people up, not to get right? But not to have an answer. What about when they legislated that Jews can't get married?
It's not this kind of a book.
Yeah. 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 Very strange. Yeah, I don't understand what it means. But in any event, the predominant opinion is that that's not the case. As long as Basin hires the hitmen, it's okay. Okay? That's what I was going to say. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, you got to stop with these Western sensibilities, Dashiell. Shmuel Amar, Pasul L'Pasul L'Kura. Shmuel says, if the get is compelled improperly, I would say by going without sanction of a Basin, so the get is no good, but at the same time, she can't marry Cohen anymore. So you burn the candle on both ends. She loses out on both ends. Shmuel Mar and Masin El Psulin. Shmuel says you don't compel women to get divorced unless there's a psul in the marriage, meaning they're married somebody to whom they shouldn't be married. Shmuel Mar and Masin El Monokoi go, an example of this. Shmuel at different times said, is a widow married to Koin Godo, Gusha Chalutza Koin Hedio, a divorcee, a woman underwent Chalutza married to Koin Hedio. As for, wait a minute, about Zinah and Shneels, what about Psulim Durabonon, right, where this is Durabonon? Says, you want to take out the low, Shari Torah, so much, BF takes that, works out well, better that way. Begin to Amar Shmuel. Taka, that's a similar case to Shmuel's case. Shmuel didn't enumerate all the cases, but that's also possible. So the case of Shmuel took, Amar Koin Godo, Gush Chalut, the Koin Eder, have Gita Raisa. But the same thing with Suin the Rabbana as well. Says, well, wait a minute, but Tina was, then we learn Amadir Sishto. If somebody forswears his wife, we learn so that she may not derive any benefit from him. Actually, she went for 30 days down behind us. He should have a third party supporter. Yoitz would have to worry that Yoitz would think Suva has to divorce or give her Suva. And it sounds like we can compel him to divorce, and it's not an issue where she's forbidden to him because of some inherent problem. Says more. Shamanu Shumaitz, it says that we compel him, it says that he must divorce. Shamanu Shukoivin, does it say we compel the divorce? In other words, there we use friendly persuasion, not compelling. And Akonami, Shmuel says the only time we get violent with the guy is if the marriage is forbidden. If it's just an issue of he's a nasty guy, we can't compel it. We can only try and be persuasive. That's Shmuel's opinion, okay? Which is makes it difficult, it would seem. But it's going to salvage it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yerushalayim Rav said, Yisrael she'isu b'maisa akum posul. Yisrael was compelled by goyim. Jews who compelled like goyim, meaning where there was no legitimate reason to compel a divorce, the divorce is possible. Now, what about and what's the case that if the husband says I'm not going to feed her, nor am I going to support her, although we would like a divorce his wife, we can't compel a divorce in that case. So in that case, if we compel, even though we're Jews, it doesn't work. So it says it's not so possible. First of all, if goyim compelled, it's a Rabbi Chiya Torah Brisa, if goyim compelled, the way Jews compel, actually, it's not what it means. If goyim compelled, in a case where based in Paskin, that the guy should divorce even the afilu amar ani zoref ayis, even just because he said I'm not going to support her and feed her, that's enough for the basin then to go higher and to hire Tony and Vinny. Which he's basically saying, we are on our own initiative, unless basin passes. I think it's maybe even be argued in the previous one. Previous one said, "Ain't on any fires, we cannot compel." But the Chia to our Brisa, which says, if he says "Ain't on any fires, we can't compel," we can hire the Goyisher hitman. Okay, Amrei Beisin said, "Masisom." Okay, the Brisa says, "Vakom Amrei Lo." It's a case where the Mishnah, where the Goyim say, "Well, say to him, Bechayv Timosom, beat him." Burn the same as you saw Omer Lecha, and that's considered about get. And for some reason, he assumes it's going not just in a case where she's puzzled, but rather where Basin has paskined that he's a stinker and he should divorce. So even stinkership, not just psul, is the reason, according to this, to compel a divorce. And Rabbi Chia Barashi B'Shem Asi said, "I man, he's on a fight. It's a person that I'm not going to feed nor sustain her. Claim this OOT, we compel him to divorce his wife." Okay? Rabbi Yirmiyah, boy, kun Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Yirmiyah still was not true about this. So he asked for Rabbi Avo, "I think that we talk to compel if it's just stinkership as opposed to psul." Amar Leis, so he said, "Vadayin, Islay should be really be according to Gilead of Fry, but dying out Mazoo, you still have such a kasha. Even they rech rakob." We say, if a guy has body odor, we compel him to divorce his wife, and we beat him until he divorces his wife. But bad body odor. So then in that case, lo kosh kem nei chai never, certainly if he is depriving her of food and sustenance, then we certainly compel the divorce. Ah, so Rabbi Chio, Rabbi Chis, Rabbi Yaakov, Rachel, Rabbi Yaakov, Shemini Yovan said, "My man is a furnace. If his verse says I'm not going to feed or sustain, Omri Lo, we say, O Zono Parnes, either feed or sustain, O Ptor, or divorce her." And the assumption is we can compel a divorce. Okay? What? Okay, you like that. Okay. Says more beers. Comes out, everything comes out fine. Says more. Yotza Shema Bim Rakudashis, actually Mishnah. If the rumor went down to say that she's married, basically we assume she's married. Well, any woman comes to town, you know, she lives with her like husband and wife, people assume she's married, okay? I raise him Kudash. Mikuresh noise goes around, she's divorced, basically we assume there's divorce. Well, virtually she on my mind as long as there's no excuse. What's an excuse? Beis Amaslo, what's an excuse? Even if there's a call that she's divorced, if it's a case of Gir, she's cloning Ishto, out tonight, if it's Magarish out tonight, then that's an Amaslo, because yes, there's a sound divorce, but maybe the tonight was never fulfilled. Or Zarek la Kiddusha, he tossed her Kiddusha, Sofi Karavlo, Sofi Karavlo, we don't know who's closer to. So Zoya Amaslo is also a case, maybe there's a call, she's Mekudeshes. Maybe it's not true, so we let it. So in that case, it's potentially not about Kiddushin, and we can discredit the kol. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Shem Yochanan said, what establishes a kol she's Mekudeshes? Nechos Doilkin, that there was festivities with burning candles. And besides that, Sichos Me'od Ben Sichos, and besides that, people are gossiping about the wedding. Says, what I see, Rabbi Zero, from Rabbi Yasso. How can you say this? He asked for Rabbi Yasso. But either he said, learn, Yotza Shmo Ba'ir Mekudesh, or Ezim Mekudesh, says, if the name went out about him saying that she's married, and Mekureshes, or Ezim Mekureshes. What's more important, instead of name went around that she's divorced, she's Mekureshes. The Isam Be'im or Neiru's Dolkim? But do they burn candles by a divorce? In other words, you can remember the festivities of a wedding. But what festivities are you remembering about the divorce? Okay, usually there aren't festivities by divorce. There are exceptions. Says more, what? Nowadays. It says, so the next word, it says, looks like lo, but it's really elo. La, sichos me'am sichim. So no, rather, all you need is people schmoozing. You don't need to have any precipitating events. But just like by games, just like that. But also by kiddushin, me'am sichim. What? Kol. Shishmuzerai. V'achasimus b'yom sichim. V'yaz Hashem Yom said, Nibda Kashem, what if you checked out the rumor? We named some EP, no, should be time, turn out, women and children started the rumor. In that case, Bot Hashem, we discredit the rumor. Be able to trace back to women and children, unreliable. What is the valid, Rav Amar, lo tir by elem, emi pi ed bilvad? What is, he says, no. Even the rumor started by women or children is considered to be a reliable rumor. It's only if it's untraceable. So it's, I said I heard from so-and-so, and so-and-so said she heard from so-and-so, and it goes back to an untraceable source, because the initial source went to Chutz Laaretz or cannot be found. In that case, we discredit the rumor, because we say that untraceable rumors are not valid rumors. But if we keep on being able, persistently able to trace it, then we assume that it is a valid rumor. Okay? Says the Gemara further. Mishnah further. Last Mishnah again. I think we'll finish tonight. Beishamai says, Lo yigarish anam is ishto, elin kei matzu bar erva. You shouldn't avoid her wife unless you find something licentious about her. Shanamai says, Ki matzu bar erva, you find a licentious matter about her. Beishamai still says, I feel like tira tafshilo. Even if she burnt your supper, get rid of her. Shanamai, Ki matzu bar erva, davar. Now do you find her something about Arias? You find some shortcoming, some matter which is nakedness of matter, something which is in a shortcoming in a woman. Rabbi Akiva Amar, I feel a much higher story in manner, even if you find a nicer wife than she. So Shneamar says, well, you are enlightening to Chem Eno of a Gomer. If she doesn't find favor in her eyes, etc., that's sufficient grounds for a divorce. That's the flip side of Akiva's Vafta Reacha Kamocha. You don't love her anymore, I can be married to her, right? Wow. So therefore, you have to marry somebody else.
That's what I want.
You like that one, don't you? Okay. So, now, the Gemara is a bit messed up. The Gemara actually should have a question to begin with, instead of the word Vaha. And most of the questions are on this question. Should be, Ma Mekayim Beishamai Taim of the Beis Hillel Dovar. Beis Hillel is written for the actual word Dovar. It doesn't say, Chimati Ba Erba. It says, Chimati Ba Erba is Dovar. Not you find something like that. Just you find a matter which is a shortcoming in your relationship. That's how Beis Hillel learned the word Dover. What did Beis Shammai do with the word Dover? Says more, Beis Shammai learned it for B'di'evit. Tana Beis Shammai, Eli Eli Yitzim Shemeru Avad. I might say that a woman can only get divorced because of true arayas. Right? Actually, it's not from B'di'evit. That's coming up later on. I apologize. But do you... Wait, just to scratch what I just said. What do you do with the word Dover? I might say it's only because of true arayas. She went there, she was adulterous or something like that. I mean, not, I don't know if she's just a putza. She doesn't meet the standards of modesty. Ayotis Rosh Hashanah, she goes out with her head uncovered, so they have frumim, her sides uncovered, uzrosel chalutos, and sleeveless. I don't know that in that such a woman you could divorce, because that's similar to Arias, Tamlo Kimatsuba Ervas Dover. That's also Ervas Dover. It's not Arias Mamish, but it has to do with Ervas. Similarly, Mamakai and Beis Shammai, what did Beis Shammai do? And either the throws in the words, time of Rabbi Akiva. What did he do with Rabbi Akiva? It says, Tilotim Tochei. It says, you don't like her divorce. So what does Beis Shammai do with that? So it says, this is for the Eben. So that Beis Shammai answers, Shalotam, and don't say, Hayyati Mishum Erava, if you divorce your wife because of Erava. And then she married somebody else. Asura, then you can't take her back. Even if she gets divorced and with her from the second guy. Why, Mishum? Because, obviously, she's a loose woman. But I might say, Mishum Dover Acher, if you divorce her for some other reason, even if she married somebody else in the interim, you can later take her back. Muteres, that's what it has to say. No, if you divorce your wife, even because she didn't find favor in your eyes, and then she went and married somebody else, you can never take her back again. You lose her forever. Okay? Marek says, in the Amar of Shiloh, it's a little bit of a question where Shiloh is coming from. It's a little bit out of left field. Anyway, Amar of Shiloh, the choir to Marata, to Rav Shiloh from the city of Dates, said, Kakroya Maksha of Beis Shammai. I have difficulty in Beis Shammai for a apostle. Says, Lo Yucho Baal Rishon Asher Sholcha, Lashuv Lekachto. It says, her first husband can't take her back. So, Marek Kayomi. What are we talking about? Im lo asura lo, if to say she's forbidden upon him, kfari asura lo, she's already also to him. That was a little bit difficult, but he's assuming, he's going back really as if we didn't have the previous point of saying, they shot my old son, why did you divorce your wife? Because you found something licentious about her. So even if she didn't marry somebody else, you should be now allowed to take her back, right? She's a loose woman. So says Mara, if she answers, that would just be good advice, right? Since once you divorce her, don't take her back. The reason it says, loyuchal, is in order to slap a prohibition on it. If you take her back, not only should she never take her back from the divorce because of Minerva, but if she went and married somebody else in the interim, then to take her back is a lot besides that. Okay? Kuksiv, it says, Badabah benita son. Now, this is kind of out of left field. I don't know why you finished getting with this. Oh, I know why. It's the last line. Badabah benita son, it says, a woman is isolated when she's in menstruation. Vazav is zavo. And a man is... He is also isolated when he has, venereal disease. So it's Kedem Arishreidim. In the old days, used to say, the original elders used to say, look, Tebi Nidasa, she should remain in her Nida. Meaning, not just she should be isolated, look, the Chavu, the Ghost, she shouldn't put on makeup. That should have open mind. But basically, she put on makeup. Amalei Rabbi Akiva said, Misham Raya, from there you want to bring a proof. Now, he doesn't bring another proof, but it's just Svara. If you say that he should, when his wife is an Ida, she shouldn't dress up and put on makeup. So she's bringing herself to ugliness. And he's going to divorce her. So therefore she has to be able to put on makeup even when she's an Ida. Now, I said, this Kenim who didn't care is like Beisham, and they say, anyway, she can't divorce her, because just because she's put on makeup, she's still okay, because the only divorce because of Erva, right? It's not Erva, it's just because she's ugly. Rabbi Akiva, however, is going, it should be according to Shai Tosel Kedaitin. Rabbi Akiva is following his line of reasoning himself. Akiva said, you can even divorce her if you find a more beautiful woman, right? So therefore, he said, she better remain as beautiful as possible, even though she's Anita, because otherwise she's going to find a more beautiful woman. Now, it just struck me that this is the same machlokas Bisham and Yisov we have over here, is the same machlokas they have by Chosin Akala. Bisham says, Ketzim Rakti Lifne Akala. How do you find that? Akala, come on, she's ugly. You don't say she's beautiful. Bisham and Akala, you always say she's beautiful. Right? Because Bezum and Rabbi Akiva, some of the questions say this explicitly, are basically the same. It's just Bezum picks that she burns your pot, and Bezum Rabbi Akiva picks if you find a more beautiful woman. But the point is, according to Bishamai, you don't have to lie and say that she's beautiful if she's not, because anyway, once he's married, he can't divorce her unless she's an Erva. And she's not an Erva, right? Even if she's ugly, she's not an Erva. But according to Bezum, you can divorce her even if she's ugly. So therefore, you better lie and say Kala Noha Chasuda in order to try and prevent the divorce occurring right after Sheva Brahma.
Is it not only that you're supposed to say she's
beautiful,
you're also supposed to say she's...
Noha Chasuda. Right, pious means he doesn't burn the cookery, I guess.
He doesn't have to do the Erva?
What? No, it's not doing the Erva. No. Just we say she's pious. No, of course, but that's not the issue. I think, anyway, that's off the top of my head, that's what I said in the Kedushin. Okay, Hajjulach and Megarish. Let's just make a start in Kedushin. So the first part of Kedushin is very easy. Like I said, tomorrow night we'll have not learning. The next time, hopefully, we meet is a Monday. A woman is required by three ways. The Kohen's Hatzur Shedra requires herself in two ways. Neither she's bought the Kesef B'shtar Bia with money, with documents, and with relations. The Kesef, how much money? B'sham Omrim, the dinar, Shavadinar, with dinar, or the equivalent of a dinar. B'somrim, B'pruta, V'shavapruta, Pruta, the equivalent of a Pruta. B'kami, Pruta, what's Pruta? Achas Mishona V'Yisrael Italki, 1/8 of an Italian Isser. The Kohen's Hatzur, why does she acquire herself? Beget by divorce, and Misabal, the death of her husband. Hayavoma can only be acquired by relations. The Kohen Satma acquires itself by the Chalitza process, or Misayav in the death of the Yavam. Says Mark, don't make a mistake, read the Mishnah. Kemas, this is the way to read a Mishnah. Obi Kesef, Obi Shtar, Obi Bia. Either or, you don't need all three. Any one of them suffices. The Tanya Reb Chiya, the Chen Reb Chiya learns this explicitly. Lo Sof Tor Rishlosh, you don't need all three. Afilu Be'echon may add, even one of them suffices in order to make the marriage about marriage. Because I mean, how do we know that my money works? Kiyikach says, Kiyikach, Magi Shanita is Bekesef. Kiyikach means, if you acquire a woman, how do you acquire? By money. Bebiya Minayim. I know the beer works, but it says Ubala. Ubala means that relations to her. Magi Shanita is Bia. Teach her she acquired by Bia. I might say, Dezu, by Deka, Dezu. I might say, need both. Kesef lo bia bia lo kesef. I know the one without the other works. Either money without bia or bia without kesef. If Rav Shem Yochanan said, see, it says ki motzei ish shochem im isha bulas baal. Says elsewhere, if you find a man raping a woman who's bulas baal, who's been husbanded by a husband, so God's mecha. Imagine this: afilo kari ela bia, even if she's only acquired by bia. Because it just says bu'ula, which means relations. So if she with no money, then Torah says, Abachra, anybody who has relations with this woman, subsequently, bechenek, that's bechenek. So it teaches us that even one without the other, even bia without kesef, and we learn also kesef without bia, works only, well, you don't need all three or any two in order to make the marriage work. And we will stop here for this evening. We can meet on Monday. There is a wedding. The wedding is Monday. Oh.